Today on the Dropping Dimes podcast, Evans and I are joined by the vice president of the Fraser Valley Bandits and the co-founder of the Abbotsford Basketball Association, Dylan Kular. Dylan, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, both of you, for having me on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Dylan, for being in. Yeah. Evans, how are you doing, man?
Good, man. Glad to be back.
Yeah, we're back on this side of the action, and we're very excited to have Dylan on the show today. There's quite a bit that we're going to chat about. We're going to get to know Dylan a little bit first, and then we're just going to dive in right away and talk about the Bandits a lot more. So why don't we get started, gentlemen? So that sound good?
Sounds good.
Perfect. So Dylan, we want to get to know you a little bit better. So can you please tell us when did you start playing basketball? How did it come to your life?
Yeah, basketball and most sports that came into my life thanks to my mom's side of the family. I had five cousins who were about similar age or within a 6 year age difference. So anytime we'd meet at my grandma's house, which would be often, at least weekly, we'd go to the neighboring school and we'd shooting hoops or playing some road hockey or soccer or touch football, whatever it was. But it started when I was about grade 4 and 5. And then my elementary school had a grade 5 team, and that's when I really started playing organized basketball. And from there, it's just exploded from playing on club teams, playing on the provincial team, played college as well. Born and raised here in Abbotsford, and it is a basketball hotbed. I would say the Fraser Valley as a whole is a basketball hotbed. So I've been very fortunate to grow up and play basketball here in this community.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know it's not a lot of us found basketball at an early age, but it sounds like you did and you fell in love with it at an early age.
It's cool that you were involved with multiple sports as well. So it really gave you an insight into how it was to work with teams and stuff. Speaking of that, did you have a favorite team growing up?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't have a favorite team growing up.
Nice.
Yeah, my cousins, thanks to them, introduced me to a lot of sports. I played basketball, lacrosse, and soccer competitively until grade 12. And even in university, I played soccer and basketball for 1 year sticking with basketball. But I've always really seen the game differently. I've been very grateful to have some very strong coaches who've won multiple national championships at different levels, coach me in different sports. So for me, I've always been looking at, how do coaches get certain people open or situational plays or what type of defenses on certain players. And that's always fascinating me. So I'm more follow coaches like Doc and Brad Stevens.
Nice.
On the basketball side. No favorite team. Obviously, I'm happy the Raptors won, but
yeah.
I can jump bandwagon and say I've been supporting them or someone else for a long time.
No, I find it quite interesting that you mentioned that you played soccer first, because I did see an article today where Steve Kerr actually is vouching for the youth to pick up soccer before they even pick up basketball because of the similarities of the game and just learning to pass and cut in a different sport before you join basketball. It definitely helps. So it's cool that you brought that up.
Yeah, I'm noticing at the youth level that young players who are playing soccer and even football before mm-hmm. basketball have a significant edge on people who don't.
Yeah, totally.
Because they can move their body, and if you can't move your body, you can't play a team sport like basketball.
Right.
That is so interesting, and I don't mean to go off topic, but I'm reading this book. It's called Rank. I think the subtitle is how multi-skilled people perform better than generalists, than specialists, or something like that. And it gives the example of Tiger Woods versus Roger Federer. How Tiger Woods was basically groomed into golf from the time that before he could even walk properly, versus Roger Federer, who's arguably one of the best tennis players in the world. Very much like you guys are mentioning, he played many sports during his youth. He liked basketball quite a bit, actually, but it wasn't until he was in his mid-teens that he sort of committed to tennis a little bit more, and he attributes that to how he sees the sport differently and whatnot. But if anyone out there listening, or if you guys are interested, it's called Range. Check it out, because it's an interesting approach to life in general, not just sports.
Nice.
Well, you mentioned two ex-Celtics, well, the current Celtics coach and the ex-Celtics Doc Rivers. Don Nelson, you mentioned. So I was confused. Because I was going to say, I'm going to put you in the Celtics category, but luckily that's it's not good. Not true. Not true. But Dylan, did you have a favorite pair of shoes to ball in?
So like my first pair of shoes was the Shaq Attack. I mean, like we got them from Payless.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. That's awesome.
Nice.
I had size 12 feet in grade 5. Yeah, it's just something about East Indians out here in Abbotsford. We grow really early. Like all my friends were 5'10", 5'11", 6 foot. Like we pretty much grew to our maturity in middle school. Mm-hmm. By the age of 13. So I was 6'2" by age 13 at size 14 feet by grade 8. So I had Shaq Attacks first, and then I was the type of guy who was always looking for the good deal. So usually like, nice. pro models were on BOGO, and I'd just get a practice pair and a game pair. So I wore pro models all the way up to grade 12, and then we started getting team shoes in grade 12 and university. But for me now, it's something that's low top, and it's a good bargain. So
nice.
Yeah, I haven't bought into the shoe craze that obviously is like taking over a lot of people. Now, like I appreciate shoes, but for me, like I'm gonna go through a pair pretty quickly. Right. Heavy on my feet, so whatever's a good bargain, because within 4 or 5 months I'm gonna be getting another pair. So I'd rather spend $100 than $300.
Yeah, no. When you go through shoes like that, then yeah, I think we would all go for the bargain for sure.
Yeah.
Now you had mentioned some of your teammates and some of the boys from Abbotsford. They're just like bigger players, more athletic, right? So you're also a co-founder of the Abbotsford Basketball Association, the ABA. Can you elaborate on a bit more and tell us a bit about more of that association?
Yeah, basketball, just in general, is one of the most accessible sports. Like soccer, you need a ball, you need a net. Like basketball, you need a ball, you need a net. So when I came back from university,
yeah,
I had a great opportunity to work like with some of the club basketball organizations, and I think it's great what everyone does and finding an opportunity for basketball and growing the game. Nice. But sometimes finance has become a huge barrier for a lot of people. It's not just a small group of people anymore. It's starting to become a large group just based on like travel costs and tournament costs, coaching costs that some of these clubs need to charge based on what they're doing. So in Abbotsford, there wasn't a secular and not-for-profit organization. Like with most sports you see in every city, you see like Vancouver Minor Hockey Association, a not-for-profit association, volunteer run, but they're still attracting some top coaching talent. It is structured to be the not-for-profit model in Abbotsford. That didn't exist. So like some of the clubs I was working with, again, great, what they do is great, but when I experience a lot of kids looking at the information sheets, or like a grade 3 student, for example, look at an information sheet and look at the price and know right away that they can't afford it. When you're literally 8 years old or 7 years old and you know that, it's pretty disheartening. And when that's a majority, I felt like something needed to be added to this community. So myself and the co-founder, Ashling Singh, a teacher now in the school district, essentially created Abbotsford Basketball Association. We have a volunteer board of directors, and since 2016 we now have one of the largest not-for-profit associations, I would say, for basketball in the Fraser Valley. In 2019 we've had over 2,000 kids go through the program. We also do adult programming as well. Like program is like for youth is almost like $2 a session, which is like $12 and more inexpensive than the next group, and it just goes higher and higher and higher. So for us, coaches are still all through the NCCP system, gain trained through Basketball BC, gain trained through Canada Basketball. And we've just proven that basketball can still be provided at an affordable way with this model. It's just not that common anymore with basketball out here in BC. Obviously, basketball has evolved very well in Ontario. All the basketball clubs working very closely with their provincial sport organization, but it's not really the case here in BC. So I just wanted to make sure, and my co-founder, we wanted to make sure that kids were still provided a fair opportunity. And it's clear that it was needed just based on the sheer numbers that have gone through the programs with ABA.
That is an awesome program. I mean, every time we hear, you know, programs like this, and we've only had a few on the show, at least personally, and I might speak for Evans here, but, you know, it just fills up with joy because we know we love the sport and it came to us at a fairly young age, you know, when we were both teenagers or kids, and it has taught us so much. So to be able to interview people that want to pass that along and everything that comes with the sport, you know, leadership skills and just being able to have something to do in the afternoons for very low or almost to nothing, it's absolutely wonderful. So kudos to you guys for doing that.
It's one of the most accessible sports in the world, so that should be applicable to the grassroots level. And there needs to be space for the not-for-profit sector, and as well as the for-profit academies. Like there's room for both, and both are in demand, but both need to be there, because there's more than just one type of market that's looking for basketball, and not everyone's looking to play basketball competitively. They want to play basketball exactly like what you said, to develop those social skills and physical skills that come along with the sport. And yeah, I'm glad to be part of that group that's providing that opportunity at the grassroots level in the not-for-profit sector.
That's a good point.
You're pivoting a little bit of topics, and you were recently named the vice president for the Bandits, but let's take a few steps back. And can you tell us, how do you get involved with the Bandits?
Yeah, when I heard the Bandits were coming to BC, at the time I was working with Black Press. They're a marketing company. They essentially own all the newspapers and online media companies below south of the river in BC. And initially reached out, just letting them know, like, obviously we have the Amateur Basketball Association, and that we support what they're trying to do, because this Canadian Elite Basketball League, it was founded to create an opportunity for Canadians to play professionally here in Canada. There's never been a Canadian mandated league of this nature. And right away I saw it as an opportunity for players, for coaches, like statisticians, fans, sponsors, everyone to rally behind something that we can call our own in a Canadian professional domestic league. And like, what an incredible opportunity it is for youth now to see professional basketball really in their backyard and aspire to something that's different than the NBA. And now it's another opportunity in addition to the NBA or college or whatever it is. So reached out in that regard. And then actually, when the CEO of the league and COO of the league came out to Abbotsford, they asked Mayor and Council, recommended some people who would fit well in the Director of Business Development role. And I was recommended. So it came out of the left field. I didn't expect to be working with a team in this capacity, but yeah, very grateful to be given the opportunity to do so. And last year, being the director, had a very great team that was working alongside with Andrew Savory, who's a marketing manager in communications. He's now our director of operations, and Gustavo Lin. We're really the three-headed snake here in the valley. Very similar to what we're doing this year, working really 7 days a week, knowing what it takes to make this successful, and that we can make it successful by just putting in the work and working really smart. It's what we did last year. And we actually had the second best attendance in the league last year, even though we weren't the best team on the court, but still had the second best attendance, one of the best teams in partnerships, in terms of perks for the players and in terms of partnership activations that we had with the team. We really set a standard across the league. And so with that, yeah, very grateful to now be growing the game at the grassroots level, now at the professional level. And as I've already mentioned, with how basketball is so accessible, and it should be for the grassroots level, it's something that we've also instilled at the professional level. Like, we wanted to make sure that people were able to experience the Bandits and not worry about how much money they were spending, because tickets were inexpensive, they're affordable, and you got great value with what you were getting. So we really wanted to translate that accessibility across all fronts, from the grassroots to the professional level. So that's how I got involved. And again, yeah, just grateful for the opportunity. Never thought I'd be involved with basketball in this capacity, but now that it's here, just really want to take advantage of it and grow the game at the professional level.
That's really cool. I mean, congrats for another season. Is it, just want to confirm, it's year two is coming up?
Yeah, we're heading into year two. Six teams across four provinces. We have the Fraser Valley Bandits, Edmonton Stingers, Saskatchewan Rattlers, Guelph Nighthawks, Hamilton Honey Badgers, and the Niagara River Lions. And always our front office staff at the league level is always looking at growing the league with new teams. Four-year growth plan is to have 12 teams, and that would be the full maturation of the league. All teams got to be 70% Canadian, which is why Canada Basketball partnered with the league. Canada Basketball has never partnered with a league, a Canadian league before. And there has been attempts at leagues in Canada. There already is a league in Canada, the National Basketball League of Canada. They do a great job of providing an opportunity for players, but they don't have that Canadian mandate as we do, and they've never developed that partnership with Canada Basketball. I'm not sure what that relationship is there, but we're doing some things differently. That this is a Canadian professional league. It is a domestic league, 70% Canadian, got to be Canadian coaches, which is why we've developed those partnerships with Canada Basketball and even U Sports as well. There's a U Sports component to our league that involves the U Sports draft and essentially has created a pathway for Canadians now to play here at Vancouver College, go on to Carleton, and then have that direct pathway now to play professionally in Canada if they so choose, which has never existed before. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
And for the listeners, once again, it's the CEBL. So it's the Canadian Elite Basketball League. And then back to the teams you were listing, we noticed, you know, Fraser Valley Bandits. I'm just curious how that sort of moniker came about and how the mascot, how you guys decided on, you know, the Red Fox.
Yeah, I wasn't involved with that process. I was hired afterwards, but what I've heard, obviously, the fox being one of the animals of the valley. Actually, a golf event that we attended in Maple Ridge just in early August. Mm-hmm. We're at our hole that we sponsored, and
nice.
A couple foxes come up to the green.
Oh wow!
I haven't seen foxes in BC before, outside of the zoo. So
yeah, it's not that common.
Yeah, it's not. So even though the league felt it was, and it is. Yeah, it definitely is an animal of BC, but I just haven't seen one in the wild yet, so it was nice to see that.
That's cool.
And yeah, even in our mascot logo, the bandit, there's a mountain in the ear. Represent, obviously.
Nice.
I hadn't noticed that.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a cool little detail. Right
now, oh my god, how did I miss that?
Yeah, so a lot of small intricacies in the logo. I feel like we have the best logo in the league. Obviously, I'm a little biased, but yeah, I love our logo. The group behind the logos did a great job for the whole league. So, so the Bandits logo came to be. And again, I think it's the best logo. So everyone should have no worries representing the cool brand.
Oh, it definitely looks really clean. Looks very professional and definitely suits. And yeah, no, very, very good looking package.
I had an encounter with a fox once. I'm not going to talk about it because it doesn't leave me in a good spot. Kind of embarrassing. But yeah, I agree. They are an animal of BC, so good choice on choosing the fox. Dylan, you know, you mentioned it a little bit. You know, you're one of the best teams in terms of partnerships, and we can see that in a short amount of time, the Bandits became part of the Fraser Valley and Metro Vancouver community. So we were wondering if we could, you know, speak a little bit more about how is it that, you know, in just the span of a season, you guys were able to penetrate the community in such a positive manner.
Yeah, and like everyone in BC wants the Vancouver Grizzlies back. Like, and so do I. So like, there's definitely a gap for professional basketball in this province. And for us, even if the NBA did come back, like, we don't compete with NBA. We play May to August. Yeah, if our Vancouver team did make a deep playoff push, there'll be some overlap there. But for the most part, we're still filling a gap for professional basketball. So NBA finishing early June or late April or late May, we fill in the gap from May to August. And in the Fraser Valley, again, a lack of professional sport opportunities here. The Vancouver Stealth, now Vancouver Warriors, lacrosse team playing at Rogers Arena, they were moved from Langley to Vancouver. So there's no professional sport in the Valley. Sorry, one second. Just drinking a cup of water here.
No worries.
So when we announced our team, everyone, I haven't had one bad experience for people wanting to support the team. Everyone wants to support the team, whether it is being our partner or sharing good word or connecting us with people that want to see this be successful because they see the growth opportunity of this league. There's strong domestic leagues overseas in Europe, Asia, and the Americas, and we've never had one to call our own. And when you have over like 200 players playing professionally overseas who are Canadian, it just shows the gap of opportunity that's available for them here in Canada. Like we probably have some of the most, I think we have the second most now NBA players outside of the United States. So it shows the strength of the game in Canada. So everyone, I think, understands that and sees the opportunity. So for us to do that and to be successful early on was due to that openness and support of everyone. So whether it be basketball organizations or corporate partners or even just people in entertainment fans, what say you? Everyone's been very supportive, and we're very fortunate to be in a community that is very supportive and wants us to be successful. And that's part of the reason why we've seen success in our first year in the Fraser Valley and Metro Vancouver. The Bandits brand is like our fans are coming from all over. We had fans coming from Vancouver for games, had fans from the interior, from the island, obviously primarily the Fraser Valley, but even the webcast views a lot from Vancouver and a lot from Surrey. This is British Columbia's team in the Canadian League Basketball League, and we're happy to be that.
Totally. And just speaking of local supporters and how it's a community building event, you had several local players in the team roster last season. Do you think this will inspire more youth to play basketball?
Yeah, definitely. We had two players from Yale Secondary from Abbotsford on our team. Joel Friesen and Merrick Clausen. Joel Friesen played for Team Canada. Merrick Clausen, mm-hmm. Close to making that team, playing professionally overseas in the EuroLeague. Great individuals to be on our team, and great representation for the sport, and definitely inspiring a lot of people to see that there's opportunity for basketball players to play in Abbotsford, then go through the university route, and then go play professionally overseas, and then come back play in the Canadian League Basketball League. Like, that opportunity is there for them now, and they're a walking example of that for us in the community. And then players even from Vancouver, we had Levon Kendall from Kitsilano. He's played the most games for Canada basketball. Mm-hmm. Levon, I think he's 35, and like he was cramming on guys this year.
Nice.
A great example for people who, even regardless of age or can still contribute in this league. And obviously you see that in the NBA as well with guys who are over 30 and still contributing. There's a lot of guys in this league who understand the importance of this league as well and are helping us grow the game at a grassroots level. Every guy on our team was willing to get out there and share their story. And nice. Everyone's story is so unique, and it's a true inspiration for a lot of these youth who are looking to play basketball at the next level.
And Dylan, you also mentioned this, that the team did have the best record out there. And it might be that it was the inaugural season for the entire league, but do you think there were any specific factors that led to the record that you guys had?
If you look at our box scores, like a lot of those first games, they're decided by one or two points.
Yeah, close. Yeah,
we could have easily been 5-4 or 6-3 instead of going 0-9. Just unlucky bounces, and it's a brand new league, and a lot of us, I'm sure a lot of players didn't really know, like they didn't know what to expect. It being a first year league. So I'm sure the emotions were high, and obviously some decisions were made differently. I'm sure a lot of players have made different decisions when they look back and could have gone back. But you know, the start of the season could have been a lot differently just based on a few bounces. So it's not really many things that would have contributed to that. This year was a great building year for the Fraser Valley Bandits in terms of building that foundation for the future, and we're very excited to see who we bring in as head coach and GM. To help steer us into a different direction, to a more positive direction where we're competing on the basketball court, where we're doing well in the community, we're filling up that arena, and we're one of the destinations for for professional basketball players who are Canadian to play in Canada and in the Canadian League Basketball League. We want to be the best host for players, and we're doing a lot of things to make sure that we're competitive and getting some of the best players in the market. So next up, hiring a strong head coach and GM, and we are looking forward to announcing that very soon.
Nice. Well, it's great to hear that there's a lot of progress being made. And you also mentioned that, you know, you had some close games this past season. Do you think that you might, you know, develop some rivalry against, you know, some of the other teams?
Yeah, with only six teams and you play everyone four times, you're going to develop that rivalry. Like, we had great games with Hamilton, great games with Edmonton, great games with Niagara. I would definitely see those teams being some of the teams that we develop a rivalry with. But every team and every game matters when you only play 20 games. Mm-hmm. So you're going to develop that strong rivalry with each team, and I'm sure it'll be unique in each way. But yeah, it's very exciting what this league is doing and what type of opportunities it's creating for everyone.
I'm flying to Hamilton in about 2 weeks, so I'll see what info I can bring you back from the Honey Badgers here with the Bandits.
Get your scout on, Rodrigo.
Yeah, I'll wear my hoodie so that I go unnoticed. Dylan, what were some of your favorite personal moments from the entire season, or highlights?
It would be the home opener, like that first tip, like when you know it's all real. Like all those small battles that our front office team and our basketball ops team won and lost throughout the year, the thousands of battles, the late nights, we're working 7 days a week, really just grinding to make this be successful. When we had that first tip off, it was a big sense of fresh air. That we took a deep breath and realized, okay, like we're here. It's real. Everyone's excited. Like we had one of the best home opening attendances in the league, about 4,000 people in that arena. It was loud. Nice. It was rocking. So
awesome.
It's definitely
nice.
It's definitely lightning in a bottle, this community. People are excited. There's a team here, and we're excited to provide them with that opportunity to experience professional basketball and professional sport in the Fraser Valley. So the home opener was the moment for me last year.
That's cool. Are there exhibition or preseason games before the regular season kicks off?
Yeah, so players in our league, and they're from the NBA G League, they're from the Euro League, from the Asian leagues, Australia League. So like I said, 70% Canadian, there's 10 players on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Three of those can be international players. Like last year, we had a player who played 25 games in the NBA and he ended up playing with the Hamilton Honey Badgers in our league in the summer.
Oh, wow.
And like last year, a lot of players and agents taking that wait-and-see approach for us being a brand new league, and which is totally fair. There's a lot of great leagues overseas, and sometimes those great leagues have some bad stories on how players are treated or living situations, whatever it is. So honestly, why would we be any different in the players' eyes? But now that we've gone through a whole season and players have been talking to the players that were in our league and the coaches and knew that players are getting paid on time, there's great living situations, the medical treatment is at the highest level, the perks, the community support, the great travel schedule, if you're only playing Thursday to Sunday, we're going to start attracting a lot more players. But these players are also playing other contracts from October to March or April, late April, maybe even early May, which is why our season runs May to August, which doesn't really give us an opportunity to do many exhibition games. So players arrive around April,
mm-hmm.
and our season's May to August, so you get right into the grind right away.
Right.
So you have your 20 games. You might have an opportunity to do an exhibition game, but most likely not. Each team will be having a school day game this year, but that'll be a league game mandated school day game. So part of the 20 game schedule. But for people who want to watch our games last season, were picked up by CBC and will be shared on CBC for the next multiple seasons.
Cool.
We have a free streaming site as well, CEBL.TV, where people in the community can watch for free. It's a free, no point of charge. We're trying to grow our brand. We want everyone to be able to see what's happening in this country. And it's very exciting. It's a very exciting time for basketball. It's a very exciting time for the sport. So no exhibition games. For us, season starts May to August. And yeah, that's it.
Cool. So you're obviously on a break right now. So where can people watch more Bandits content during the off season?
Yeah, we're active on social media, really letting people know what's going on with the team. So Fraser Valley Bandits on the four platforms, Twitter, LinkedIn, nice. Instagram, Facebook, our website, www.thebandits.ca. And you'll find all the information there. You can access our team newsletter. Like right now, season tickets are on sale for 2020.
Nice.
And they're moving very positively. Like we're in a lot stronger position now than we were at this time last year. Obviously, but last year, an unknown entity, and now this year, at least, starting to become known.
Right.
People are excited. Like tickets are very inexpensive. Like for 10 games, you're looking at tickets as low as $17 per game. Last year, we had some great food deals with our arena and their vendors, like drinking burgers, looking at $5 each. And nice. tell me another arena in BC where you're getting a beer for $5 and a burger for $5 and a game ticket for $17. And like you guys are basketball guys. I don't think there's another sport in the world that really brings in the entertainment value that basketball does with the integration of music, the fashion, the culture. All the activations you have outside and surrounding the game, whether it's timeouts or halftime or quarter breaks or pregame or postgame. So when you attend a Bandits game, you get that value. You get all these great things, and then there's basketball at the same time, and the basketball is phenomenal. So
yeah, sounds like a fun night out for sure. Sounds exciting.
Exactly.
Last question here, Dylan. What can you tell the people to expect from the Bandits for the 2020 season?
Yeah, you're going to expect that same high-quality entertainment experience which you had last year, but we're looking to improve a lot of things. Like last year, we just set that foundation. There's going to be a stronger team and stronger entertainment experience. Like we've changed our hashtag. It's going to be the year of the Bandit for 2020.
Nice.
We're the worst team last season in the court, but that's going to be different for 2020. And we also want to set the bar in terms of entertainment value as well. So a lot of exciting things on the horizon, and especially this month. Like everyone should be tuned in to Bandits and the Canadian Elite Basketball League this month. There's a lot of exciting announcements that are coming from across the league and at the league level. So keep your ears tuned. It's going to be an exciting year of basketball for the Canadian Elite Basketball League.
That's awesome.
That sounds wonderful. And Evans, I think it's time that we...
Yeah, we got to check one out.
Yeah, we have to go, and I'm going to order my Bandits jersey. Maybe I'll ask Santa for it, see if if he brings me a Bandits jersey. If not, at least a t-shirt that I can rock next time that we go to see the Bandits. I have to say, I caught a couple of games through CEBL.TV, and the stream was perfect. It worked out just fine on my end, but we'll definitely have to make the trip down to Abbotsford to watch a game live.
Yeah, last season we had, last season, 8 of our 10 games were on Thursday nights, and that's definitely a barrier for a lot of people who are living outside of Abbotsford. Obviously, it takes 20 minutes or 30 minutes to get to Langley, but that's 20, 30 minutes both ways, and our games are 7, they end at 9. You might get home a little too late. I understand that. Next season, we're moving a lot of games to Saturday night, looking at 5 or 6 games on Saturday night. We're gonna flirt with a few games on Sunday, like a Sunday matinee around 3, then have a few games on Thursday nights, just so we can allow people from outside of Abbotsford to experience the game, and even people who live in Abbotsford as well. Like Thursday night, like you're probably commuting to work Friday morning, maybe Vancouver to Surrey, and you can't be out that late. So that was a lot of feedback that we received from our season ticket holders and single game ticket holders from 2019. And we've adapted for 2020. We want to make sure that we're more accessible for people and that they can enjoy the whole experience of the Bandits without worrying about the time it is after the game.
You heard the man, everyone. They're making it even easier for us to go to the games now. They're going to make them on the weekends. And, you know, you have to start following the Bandits right now. Get your tickets, your season tickets right now. Not only they're affordable, they're a great show. Mm-hmm. We were talking about going, and for many reasons we couldn't, but we will definitely be there, I think, for more than one, I would hope. Because we're very excited to have a professional team in Metro Vancouver. So thank you so much, guys, for bringing that back to our province. And we're sure that the year of the Bandit is going to be a very exciting year.
Awesome. Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you so much, Dylan.